Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Lots of NBA talk to hit today as the third, I guess the last third of the regular season gets underway as we make a push towards the postseason. And we always make such a big deal about the trade deadline and who's going to end up where and who needs help and who's going to find help, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The less talked about side of it is the buyout market. And it seems like a lot of guys who can't get trades facilitated either because their contracts are too onerous or they have, I don't know, they just the teams just can't find a way to deal them because they're not as desirable, tend to just get bought out. And Tamter and I were just talking about this in the break. Marcus Morris was a big, big trade for the L.A. Clippers. Came from the New York Knicks. I mean, the Knicks talked him up like he was going to be a pillar, like a foundational piece for the next round of their existence. And it's like, dude, we're talking about Marcus Morris, right? It's the same Marcus. Now, great. Now, in his defense, he's having a fantastic season. He was shooting 43% from three-point range. But on the team that was just garbage, of course he's going to have inflated numbers because who else are they feeding the rock to? He was entertaining. He's got an attitude. Is actually kind of fit the Knicks' old DNA. So I think in some ways he was a good fit, but he wasn't going to be a foundational piece for the Knicks. Anyways, they talked him up. He had a good season. They had a boatload in the trade for to the LA Clippers. Now, his brother, twin brother to be exact, is also a good player, but not a tradable asset like his brother. So what happened earlier today? He got bought out. And now they're talking he's going to get signed by the L.A. Lakers. So it's just really interesting, the buyout market. It's kind of like that second waiver period that used to exist in Major League Baseball that's now gone because it just felt weird. I wonder if we'll ever move away from the buyout market in the NBA. We can ask that question to our next guest, Sean Devaney, who's a NBA writer and contributor for Heavy.com. Sean, thanks for hopping on.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know, we were just talking about this buyout market. It feels like, and I saw one of the articles that you were just writing, how the buyout market's kind of slowed down a little bit right now. It just, it feels weird, right? It's like, we couldn't trade you, so we're just going to cut you, and you can go sign with whoever. What's the value to the teams that cut the player in the buyout market?
Well, you can usually recoup a little bit of money. That's basically what it comes down to, that, you know, if you have somebody who's making say $10 million, and you can get them to take $8 million in order to get out of the contract, and then they can make that up with the new team. Then the team saves a couple $1 million. That's basically what it comes down to, and it can sometimes matter. You know, if you're a tax paying team, that can add up. But usually it's honestly what it comes down to is doing favors for agents. That's basically what it
it's
is.
It's funny. I'm glad you said that.
You want to stay in the good graces of these agents, and so if you can, as a team, you can you can facilitate this sort of thing. If you're a team that's not going anywhere and you're not going to really use a veteran player, and then he wants to go play for a contender, then that's kind of how that works. That's what it comes down to, basically. But you can also save yourself a little bit of money in the process.
Yeah, I'm glad you kept it real, because that's what it feels like. Nobody was willing to say it. These are favors for people. Is there any value left in the buyout market? You know, we've seen a couple of them. Jeff Green signed with the Rockets. But is there value? I don't even know if he was a buyout. But is there value in this for teams like the Lakers or others who are trying to improve in right now in real time?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly things that you can do that can help you. You know, very often you wind up signing a guy and he stays on the end of the bench, and and he's an insurance policy. But there are times where, you know, and I think Houston's a good example. They signed Damari Carroll. I think he's going to actually be pretty productive for them. I think he's going to play quite a bit. They have the room in the rotation for him. So, you know, he's going to be a pretty important player. You know, the Clippers signed Reggie Jackson, and he'll probably play a bit for them. I'm curious to see, you know, a team like Orlando, you know, that's not going to be competing for a championship. Do they go out and try to sign a guy like an Isaiah Thomas or you know, somebody who can help you on the offensive end? Because that's badly what they need, but that's not obviously a championship contender. So would a guy like Thomas want to go there? You know, that's something that they've got away.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always easy for the player to pick what the situation is going to be either. And there's only a few teams that are really going to be interested in doing this at all. So, you know, sometimes one of the most successful ones I can think of is P.J. Brown signing with the Celtics back in 2008. He wound up playing a pretty big role for them in the playoffs. And really help them win a championship. But that's a rare occasion.
Yeah, we're talking to Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Heavy.com. Let's get into some of these teams. And one that you just mentioned, the Houston Rockets, they have really doubled down on being small. And if you watched them last night, and I'm sure you did, but if my listeners didn't, I mean, they are so wide, right? You talk about, oh, you got to get spacing. I mean, it's spacing ridiculous. There's nobody even close to the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And they're small, and they play aggressively. It worked, obviously, but they blew out the Golden State Warriors. Does this have value as much as Mike D'Antoni thinks it does?
You know, it's something that they kind of had to do. And again, you know, this is they're presenting it as, you know, we're going to play small ball. We're going to go all in on this. This is our style. This is what we're going to do. They were also in a situation where they were over the luxury tax, and they had to figure out their owner didn't want to go into this and pay another year of luxury tax and keep the franchise locked up with what they call the repeater tax.
Yeah.
Which means that you pay that much more. You know, it's not just the tax, you kind of pay a super tax because you've been over the tax line for enough years in a row that you get extra penalties. He didn't want to be in that. So the easiest way for them to do that was to trade away Clint Capella, who happens to be their center. And one way you sell that to your fans is turn around and say, hey, you know what, we're going small ball. We're gonna get rid of our center. The truth is that they wanted to get out of the luxury tax, but they can kind of sell it as a small ball thing. You know, look, there'll be a second-round team. They're probably going to be a second-round team with Capella. There'll be a second-round team without him. So, you know, it'll be entertaining to watch. It'll be fun to see how this all plays out. You know, in the end, matchup-wise, I just don't think that they can hang with, you know, when you get into the Lakers and Clippers, teams like that. It'll be fun to watch. Like you say, there's so much spacing, there's so much offense, but it'll be hard to carry that into the playoffs.
Yeah, any team, a team that is the antithesis of that is the Philadelphia 76ers, who are not small by any means, with Al Horford and Joel Embiid. And he had an interesting comment, kind of probably not intentionally, saying he's the best player in the world. Nobody believes that, but he is an interesting player because he is so big. He is so physical. He can score in the post. He sometimes drops out and shits three-pointers. And we want to throw this narrative around that they have chemistry issues, but it's worked for the last couple of seasons. So are there really chemistry issues there, or is there something greater that we're missing in Philadelphia why they're currently sitting in the five seed despite being so highly thought of preseason?
You know, I think the chemistry issues are, they're not really interpersonal, and sometimes you get that, and very often you get that, especially in a 12-man locker room where you can't hide on one side far away from somebody else.
Yeah.
And say, I'm not dealing with that guy. You know, everybody is in each other's face all the time in an NBA locker room. So it's you can get some personal issues. I don't think it's that with the 76ers. That does not seem to be the case. With them, it's much more on-court chemistry. You know, it just doesn't, that the pieces don't seem to fit. You know, they did bring in Al Horford, who at this point in his career really needs to be a center. He'd like to think of himself still as a power forward, like he was when he was 26, and he was quicker. He could get out to the three-point line faster. He could, cover different positions. He's a step slower now, and he's got to play the five. They've got a five, and they've got one who's a little slow himself. He's not exactly Carl Lewis out there. So it's a poorly constructed team, and you've got Ben Simmons who can't shoot. You have a bunch of guys. You pay Tobias Harris the maximum, and that's probably not that's not a good contract. Even though he hasn't played badly, it's just he no way he's going to live up to the money that you're paying him. So in the end, you wind up with a team that's really it's just poorly constructed, and it's hard to see how they get out of that. Everybody talks about trading Embiid or trading Ben Simmons. That's much easier said than done because you're not going to get fair value back.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where they are. I think the chemistry issues are like I said, they're not personal. They're just on the floor.
Yeah. No, it feels that way, and it's interesting because they're such good players, but it doesn't. I think you said it right. They're just poorly constructed with the way that they put this team together. Sean Devaney, NBA writer for Heavy.com. You know, one of the teams that was interesting last season, after the season ended and moving into this season after the moves they made, is the Indiana Pacers. Malcolm Brogdon comes over, who's been really good. Victor Oladipo was banged up, and now he's back, and we're like, all right, the Pacers might make the run and lift themselves. Instead, they lose like six games in a row, and they finally won one right before the All-Star break, but disappointed a little bit in the Indiana Pacers. More interestingly, since Oladipo has been back, what's going on there?
Yeah, they sort of forged an identity without him, and that was working for them. You know, Brogdon was having a really terrific season, and Sabonis as well, and those two guys sort of carrying the offense with T.J. Warren in there as well. You know, they sort of figured out how to win some games. But sometimes it's tough when you just drop in a guy who says, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be getting 16, 17 shots a game.
Yeah.
Let's get back to that.
We're better without you. What do you need?
and you know, I mean, you have other guys who are going to chafe at that. And I think that's what we're seeing in Indiana, that you would think with the addition of a guy like Oladipo that would accelerate them. But there's been a transition period there. I do think they'll be okay. I still think that in the playoffs, that's a team I probably don't want to face. I think once they sort of get reorganized around Oladipo, that's a pretty well constructed group, and that's a team that if they're going to be the fifth or sixth seed, then I don't want to be third or fourth because it's just not a team I want to play.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, we've talked about some teams in the East that have been competitive. A team in the West that's not competitive and just had a parting with their head coach John Beilein is the Cavaliers. Now Charles Barkley on TNT last night was pushing it onto the players like they were being petty and complaining about working too hard, et cetera. I said this is more about the front office picking the wrong guy, the out of the box hire, so to speak. What went wrong there? Because it felt like John Beilein had some merit, but clearly it didn't work. Losing 40 games before the All-Star break.
Look, if you're the Cavaliers, and I agree with you to give that, if you're the Cavaliers, why not try something different? You know, why not go for a guy who's got a pretty good reputation as a coach who coaches an NBA style and gets players pretty well ready for the NBA when they come in. If you're the Cavaliers, you know you're not going anywhere. Why not take a chance on a guy like that? And then if you get halfway through and you say, this is a disaster, then get out of it. And they had a guy sitting right next to him, J.B. Bickerstaff, who's got NBA coaching experience, who comes from a family of coaches. His dad was obviously Bernie Bickerstaff, a longtime front office executive and a head coach. They were pretty well set up for if this turned out to be a disaster. It did turn out to be a disaster. I don't think they lost that much. You lost a half a year that was probably going to be a lost half year anyways. So this is still a team very much in rebuilding. They tried to make a hire that was outside the box. Didn't work out. They got out of it, and they got it. They've got themselves a guy they might have hired if they didn't hire John Beilein. So you know, I can understand it looks ugly. It looks terrible right now. You know, you give it a little bit of time, and I think people will sort of turn the page on this whole chapter. And I don't think they necessarily lost anything by you know, trying to make a hire that was a little bit different.
Yeah, we only have about 30 seconds here, Sean. Sean Devaney from Heavy.com, NBA writer. The Clippers and the Lakers feel like the favorites, the ones that we should look at. Is there anyone else we should need to keep an eye on the last third of the season in the West that might have a shot?
No, I don't think so. You know, Utah is probably a dark horse. They've got sort of the frontline talent and the depth to maybe make a run. But other than them, you know, Denver, I don't really believe in. You know, we talked about Houston. I think if you get past Utah, then I just don't think there's anybody really who can challenge the Lakers and the Clippers there.
Yeah, it feels that way. Sean, appreciate you hopping on for a few minutes this afternoon.
Thanks, Kiki.
Have a good weekend. Sean Devaney, NBA writer and contributor for Heavy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.